Okay, the Medrash Rabbah writes, "B'shah Shamar Hakadosh Baruch Hu Lasos LaMishkan." As soon as Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave the tzivui to build the Mishkan, Amar Moshe Miyad Amar Moshe LiYisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu immediately passed on the instructions to Klal Yisrael. V'yikhuli Truma Hayom Moshe also b'Mishkan. So Moshe was involved in making the Mishkan. V'yuleit Son of Yisrael Omrim Efshar Shashchina Shora Al Yedei Ben Amram. And the Leitzanim are always the ones causing trouble. They would mock and they would say, "What, is it possible that the Shekhinah is going to come through something that's being done by Ben Amram?" Amram Yochanan, Shisha Chadashim Haya Osek B'Mishkan. Rabbi Yochanan says he was involved in making the Mishkan for 6 months. Ushlosha Chadashim Asu'uhu. For 3 months they made it after they gathered everything together. Ushlosha Chadashim Kafluhu. And for 3 months it was left folded up somewhere. Afal Pikein Hoyu Melitzin Acharav, and nevertheless, the Melitzim, those Leitzanim, were still mocking Va'omrim, and they said, "Hare Nasa, look, it's done already. Lo Hoyu Moshe Omer Shiyashra Shechinasu Etzleinu, where's the Shechina? Didn't Moshe Rabbeinu say that the Shechina is supposed to come?" Va'korosh Baruch Hu Niskavin Lahamin HaMishkan B'chodesh She'nolid Bo Yitzchak Avinu. Va'korosh Baruch Hu wanted Dafka that the Mishkan should first start, that it should first be established in the month that Yitzchak Avinu was born. Lo asa elik shegia osa chodesh. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't want anything underway in terms of the actual functioning of the Mishkan until that month arrived. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu l'moshe b'yom ha-chodesh ha-rishon takim es ha-mishkan. So Chodesh Nisan arrives, and Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, now you can erect the Mishkan. So a couple of questions. First of all, they finished very quickly. They finished the work making the boards, the sockets, the kalim, the curtains, the menorah, the shulchan, the mizbuchos, very, very complicated work, extremely quickly. What was the point of having what seems like a miracle, of having them finish all of this work so quickly, if it wasn't going to be erected for another 3 months anyway? It was just going to be sitting in storage for 3 months. It's especially troubling when you consider that the premature finish only gave more fodder for the late Sanei Hadar to mock and to make fun and to say, "Mak Moshe Rabbeinu, mak the Ribbono Shel Olam." Second, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka want the Mishkan erected in the month of Yitzchak's birth? And even if you hold Avram and Yaakov were also born in Nisan, and that's why Nisan is so important, because it had all three of the others, that's not what the Medrash says. The Medrash says it was the Chodesh Shenolad Bo Yitzchak. We dafka wanted the month that Yitzchak was born. Nisan is also the Chodesh HaGeula. Isn't that a good enough reason for Nisan to be chosen as the month? Why is it dafka? B'shosh Shenolad Bo Yitzchak. Chodesh Shenolad Bo Yitzchak. What's the emphasis or the connection between the Mishkan and Yitzchak? So here's another Medrash in Parshas Vayakhel. The Medrash draws a comparison and a link between the Chet HaEgel and the Mishkan. The Medrash tells us, "Binizamim chatu shekein k'siv parku nizmei azav u'binizam nisratzalem shnemer aviu chach v'nezem," that it was with certain types of jewelry of rings that they sinned with the Chet HaEgel, and it is with similar types of jewelry that we built the Mishkan. V'chein omru sham, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu yavol zav ha-mishkan v'yichaper al zav ha-egel. The gold played a big role in the Egel, it played a big role in the Mishkan. Eila, Chazal also point out, is a word that's used to describe Eila Elohecha Yisrael for the Egel, and Eila Pekudei HaMishkan, the Mishkan. So there are definite links between the Mishkan and the Egel. And the idea is that the Mishkan is apparently meant to be Mechaper for the Egel. And the Eben Ezra and the Ramban explain that the Egel was committed because people were waiting for Moshe, and he didn't come on time, or what they thought would be on time. And in their impatience, they looked for a substitute to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if you boil that down into its component parts, there are actually two problems with the Egel. Obviously, the whole idea was problematic, but there were two fundamental issues that Klal Yisrael messed up with when it came to the Chet HaEgel. Number one, and most fundamentally, may have been a nice idea, a way to connect to God, but any ways to connect to God that are artificial and that are not the way that God told us to connect to Him, that are not kasher tziva Hashem, so that's fake. That's not real. and it may have felt right, but it wasn't right. We can't choose our own methods of reaching out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It has to be the way the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to reach out to him. And the second fundamental problem was a noticeable lack of patience. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't there, pumped exactly when they expected him to be there. On to the next thing. No patience at all displayed. Immediately ready to go and make an egel. Perhaps, on some level, that's why Shabbos may be so closely associated with the Mishkan. The Malachos of Shabbos and the Malachos of the Mishkan are the same. And it's always juxtaposed in the Torah. The Torah stresses in relation to Shabbos that Shabbos also is not just an idea of a day of rest. If you come up with one example where you always try to say, are the details that important? Is each, you know, does God really care if I, and what are the examples people always use? If I pick the good jelly beans from the bad ones, or the bad ones from the good ones, or all the details in Hilchos Shabbos, tremendous details. Well, we get the idea. A day of rest connecting to God, is half Shabbos really so bad? Keep the basic idea. You connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I was just reading an article about intermarriage online, where a guy who is married to a Jewish woman was explaining why he lives a very beautiful life, and even though he's a guy, they still have Shabbos. They don't turn on any screens in their home for 25 hours. So that's the idea, right? That's the basic idea. Disconnect, but nevertheless, on Shabbos, you're chayv skila for one misstep. Every single detail. So critical. An observance of Shabbos for someone who's, for us as a nation initially, and for anyone who wants to be Megayer, requires a great deal of patience. You ever speak to someone who's on the process of Gerus, so he could do everything, even before the Gerus is complete, except Shabbos. Even Torah. Guys not allowed to learn Torah, but they learn Torah before they convert, because they have to. They need to learn what they're allowed to do, what they're not allowed to do. So they need to become educated. They can't just... So there is some training involved. But Shabbos? Absolutely not. They'll always do something to be Mechal Shabbos, just one act of Chol Shabbos. And that one act of Chol Shabbos takes away the whole Shabbos. So it's something that involves a certain amount of patience to be able to be Shomer Shabbos on a national level. Klal Yisrael, Kodem Matan Torah. We probably were not allowed to observe Shabbos fully. We had a din of Bnei Noach. Now, there are other sins in our history also that came from just a lack of patience, just from not waiting it out. Many of the most grievous sins in all of Tanakh were really rooted in a lack of patience. Rabbi Kamenetsky spoke before about the Eitz Hadas. According to certain Midrashim, the Isser Teet from the Eitz Hadas was really only meant to be a one-day Isser. All they had to do is wait the day out and they would have been able to eat from it. But they couldn't. They couldn't wait. People sometimes, they get antsy. They need it right now. They can't wait till later on. And because of that, we lost Gan Eden. Shaul HaMelech was told to wait for 7 days and then Shmuel will come and bring a karban, and Shaul loses patience waiting so long and he brings the karbanos. Shmuel shows up. What went on over here? The karbanos are done already. Vayomer Shmuel al Shaul, niskalta, you really messed this one up. Lo shamartes mitzvos Hashem Elokecha asher tzivach ki ata hechin Hashem es mamlachtecha el Yisrael ad olam. You know, you were supposed to be king forever, but because you lacked patience, va'ata mamlachtecha lo sakum, your kingdom is not going to last. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already looking for his next king. Bikesh Hashem lo ish kilvavo, ve'itzaveyu Hashem lenagid alamo, ki lo shamartes asher tzivcha Hashem. Why? What did Shaul do? He did exactly what he was supposed to do. 5 minutes too early. And he lost it all. And now there's going to be a David, and now there's not going to be a Malchus of the house of Shaul anymore. The Mishkan is the ultimate kapara for the Egel, because it's mechaper for both things. First of all, the Mishkan, as the Torah stresses over and over and over again, is Kasher Tziva Hashem. Every single step is exactly as God had commanded. There was no making it up on the fly, no deciding what feels right. It was Kasher Tziva Hashem. Construction of the Mishkan also had to be done in a way where our patience was tested. It's done, it's ready, let's go, let's get it moving. No, you have to wait. You have to wait until HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good and ready. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ready to be sure of the Shekhinah on the Mishkan. And perhaps that explains the emphasis on Yitzchak's birth. The Mishkan is a lesson in patience. We don't say B'shah Shemes Bo Yitzchak, we say B'chodesh Shen Nolad Bo Yitzchak. If there was ever a lesson in patience. It's the birth of Yitzchak Avinu. Avram's told over and over again by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your children are going to be like the stars, like the sand and the sea, like they're going to be this, they're going to be that. And he's waiting and waiting and waiting, and there are no children to speak of. And he's past the age where he could have children, and his wife is past the age where she could have children, and there's still no children to speak of. And God keeps promising, oh, it's going to come, it's going to come. The birth of Yitzchak represents, finally, the child arrived. It represents patience paying off. And if you think about it, Avram waiting and waiting, and then there's a child, and then, that's not the one. You're going to have to wait a little more till the right one comes along. Yishmael was born first, but he had to wait a little longer. And it's that patience in waiting for things to play out appropriately that distinguishes Yitzchak's birth from the birth of the other Avos. When choosing the month of Nisan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make it clear, the month of Nisan was not chosen on account of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's not why the Mishkan was in the month of Nisan. Yitzias Mitzrayim was b'chipazo. No, this isn't about chipazo. Yitzias Mitzrayim happened 190 years early, prematurely. No, the Mishkan is in the month of Nisan because it was the month that was nullified by Yitzchak. The Yitzchak was born. The Mishkan, the ultimate expression of Hashra'as HaShchinah, happens on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's terms, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is finally ready for it. And I think there's a profound lesson in all of this. First, on a national level, the Jewish people have been waiting for Geula, and our most grievous errors have come when we lost patience. And we said, oh, it's got to be here already. And you have a Shabtai Tzvi, and you have false messiahs, because it's got to be here. It's got to be the time of Geula already. We want it, and we hope for it, and we pray that it's going to happen every single day. But at the same time, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan, and it will come on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's terms, not on our terms. But on a personal level also, we live in a generation of instant gratification, and it's not really so new, but it's pretty profound in the way that that idea of instant gratification and instant notification has exploded in recent times. And we've become less patient. We don't let ideas develop. I find even in Piskei Halacha, so it used to be you'd send a letter to the rabbi, and he would think about it, write a tshuva, study it, send a letter back, and 3 weeks later you found out whether you were allowed to do that thing that you asked about 3 weeks ago and you forgot. But now it's recorded for all of history. Now you get a text, gotta respond right away. He got the text, I see, it says R on the BlackBerry. He read it, I know. He's gotta respond right away. And we don't let ideas settle. Sometimes in trying to achieve things in Torah, we have these chalomos of how we're going to become great and how we're... And we don't realize that it's just takes a lot of time, and a lot of effort, and it takes a lot of work, and a lot of patience. In general, anything good that we expect to have in life, and in Ruchnius, we have to realize that Ashras HaShchina comes when we're doing the Ratzon Hashem, Kasher Tziva Hashem, but also when we express the proper amount of patience and we allow things to play out on the Ribbono Shel Olam's terms.